Some may be familiar of the story. It was a farmer who had a wonderful farm, and he raised chickens and pigs and a lot sort of other animals, but one day the chicken turned to the pig. He said, "You know, this farmer is so nice to us." He said, "We need to reward him somehow." Pig said, "Well, everything in mind?" He said, "Yes. Why don't we tomorrow surprise him with a big breakfast of eggs and bacon?" Let us sink in for a minute. And the pig said to the chicken, "That may be a sacrifice for you, but for me, that's a total commitment." The word commitment is a word that we know of, we use, a concept we all think we understand. Commitment is a serious word. It is a decision to do something. It's not a desire. It's not a hope. It's not, "I'm thinking about it." With a commitment, either you do or you don't. There's no in between. When you truly make a commitment, you have made your decision. There, you're entertaining no further options, and your mind is made up. It's committed. You will to will what you have willed. Thank God that He was completely committed to us. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet running away from Him, in Romans 5:8 we read, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Complete commitment to us. There's a scene in Matthew 16:21-23, that says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and the third day be raised to life." I love what follows. "Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. 'Never, Lord,' he said, 'this shall never happen to you.' And Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men.'" Peter did not want his master to suffer all those pronounced events. And he took Jesus aside and rebuked him and said, no, this can't happen. And Jesus rebukes him, "Get behind me," calls him Satan, saying he's a stumbling block because he is not thinking about the things of God, but the things of men. Jesus was stressing again His complete commitment to you and me. In Luke 9:51-53, we read that it says that when the days drew near for Him to be taken up, you heard the reading today. How many times have you really camped on these next few words? "He set His face to go to Jerusalem. And He sent messengers ahead of Him, and on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him, but did not receive Him because His face was set toward Jerusalem." That means that Jesus' face was set. His gaze was fixed. He was focused. He was going toward Jerusalem and all that He knew was going to happen in the cross, and nothing was going to stop Him. He was totally, completely committed to you and me. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing full well all that was going to lay before Him, the pain, the torture, yet His complete commitment to us was there as He prayed in His prayer, "Father, if You're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but Yours be done." Jesus' complete commitment to you and me. And Jesus went through it. The betrayal, the abandonment, the false arrest, the trial by dark of night, the mocking, the slapping, the crown of thorns, the scourging, the beating within an inch of His life, the excruciating crucifixion, the hours of pain and agony, His beaten body dying, His lifeblood flowing for you and for me and for all until He breathed His last. Jesus was completely committed to you and to me. There's a great choir called the Mississippi Mass Choir, and they wrote a song called "It Wasn't the Nails That Held Him There." These are kind of their words. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. He could have come down, but the whole world would be lost. The ransom was so high, only he could pay the cost. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes we are healed. It was love, his commitment to us, that held him there, and the same love that covers our sins. Amen? Jesus was completely committed to you and me. And today we'll be sharing in remembrance of Jesus' complete commitment to us in the observance of the Lord's Supper. I want you in that time to be moved in a deeper way to Jesus' complete commitment to you and to me. And as we reflect for a few moments on how eternally important Jesus' complete commitment was, how he completely and totally committed to us, and that commitment made it possible for us to receive forgiveness and cleansing from our sin, to be born anew as his children and God as our eternal heavenly Father, to have his Holy Spirit within us as our dear friend every day, and to have eternal life in heaven with him. Amen? When you reflect on how presently and eternally important Jesus' complete commitment to us was, how do we respond to him? How do we respond when he calls us to a more complete commitment to him? How do we respond when he calls us to submit our will to a more complete commitment to him? This is the final message in the sermon series on I Will. And in this series, we have heard God's call to us for a more complete commitment to him. We have heard in numerous ways God's call for us to make a more complete commitment by choosing to grow from I am like this, but I will, Lord, be like this for you. From I am this way, Lord, and I'm not going to budge for I am, to this way, Lord, I will move. I will grow from the I am where I am today to an I will grow to what honors you most. I will be more fully committed to you like you are to me. And God's word challenges us to on this complete commitment and making God and choosing to grow from I am to I will on a regular basis. I just want to share a few with you. In Romans 12, it says, do not, meaning don't stay where you are in the worldly thinking, do not be conformed to this world, but, so he's saying, I want you to take a step. This is the greater commitment to him, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't let it be all your own human way of thinking. Think about what God has done and how the Holy Spirit's moving you and working within you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, the changing of your minds, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In 2 Corinthians 10, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive. Do you hear that? Don't just think whatever you think, whatever the world says, whatever you've been going with is the right thing. Take it captive. It says captive to obey Christ. What is God calling me to? To be a greater witness for him, be more committed to him. To go from I am this way, Lord, I take it captive to be I will be this way for you. It ends, we are ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Philippians 4:8. Finally, beloved, listen to these things we're supposed to focus our minds on rather than let them stay where they are. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, it's a changing of our thinking. And the Philippians 2 passage, I know, is a favorite to you as well as it is to me, because He challenges us to have the same change of mind, the same attitude of mind that Christ had. Listen to this. It says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, let me ask you something. Have you been encouraged by hearing how God loves you in Christ? Yes? Any consolation from his love? Have you been consoled by how God loves you? Any sharing in the Spirit? Any compassion and sympathy? Paul says, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You hear the unity he wants us to have? Do nothing from selfish, I love that word, selfish, from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind, here's where he says it, be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And look how he paints this picture. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he's God, did not regard equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, God taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, which was the most humiliating electric chair of its day. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? You hear that? Let the same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you, who though he was God, emptied himself, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We make decisions many times every day. We come, we go, we make friends or enemies, we choose good and evil. We obey or disobey, we change our ways or remain the same, we handle our finances or ignore them, we build or terminate our relationships, we live or we die. In fact, we make over 2,500 decisions in an average day, some more important than others. That means in almost every minute of every day, we make a decision. And many times those decisions are decisions we make as Christians. Do I choose, do I decide to make a more complete commitment to and for Christ? Do I turn from being conformed to this world and choose to be conformed by the renewing of mind for God's greater honor and glory? Do I take my thoughts captive? Do I think about, do I choose whatever is true and honorable and just and pure and pleasing and commendable, what is excellence and worthy of praise? Do I speak in the center of my being, I will to will, not I am, but I will be? The biggest obstacle that holds many of us back from growing from I am to I will could be one of the smallest words in the English language. Sometimes we blame everyone or ourselves for or everything else in the world for not having a deeper commitment to Christ, when the problem really is a little two-letter word. No, it's not me. The word is if. I'll give my life to Jesus if you can fill in the blank. How often that word stands in the way of us growing from I am to I will for Christ. I would share Jesus with others if I would start tithing, if I would open my heart and worship today, if I would be more understanding of others, if I would spend more time with my family, if I would go on that mission trip, if I started going to a growth class, if. God, I'd really start serving you, if. But when we use the if, we make excuses. We try to bargain with God. We set conditions for our disobedience or our obedience. And the word if implies that God has to do more for us than he's already done for us to be a part of his plan. He has already done more than he needed to do for us. Yet he did it because he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us based on if. He didn't come and say, I'll die for you if, I'll go through all that agony if, I'll hang on that cross for those hours and bear the sins of eternity, the sins of all humanity, if. No, he did it because he loves you, because he loves me, because he loved us with a completely committed love. So let's not say I'll move from I am to I will if God will do this, or if others will do that, or if I get this. Let's say I'll move from I am to I will because I love him so much back. I've heard some of you, could be children and their parents, or even a husband and wife, that say, I love you. I love you more. Oh, no, you don't. I love you more. Oh, no, I love you more. You've done it. You've seen it. You've been a part of that kind of a round robin thing. But, you know, we could say to God, I'm doing this, Lord, because I love you back, and I love you more. Oh, there's no way we could love him more. But we do it because we love him. Emerson said these words, the purpose of life is not to be happy, it's to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well. Wow. Do you want your life to have an impact? Do you want your life to have made a difference in the world? God wonderfully made you who you are different. So you must make a wonderful difference. Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire, beginning in his church. You know, things change in churches. Things change in the world. Things change in the spiritual realm, and people come to Christ because one person started changing and saying, going from I am to I will. It always takes that one person doing it. So be that person. Jimmy Carter had said this, I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My life demands that I do whatever I can, whenever I can, wherever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have, to try to make a difference. Another has said, if your presence doesn't make an impact, your absence will not make a difference. Wow. That's powerful. You are not created and gifted to say it's all about me. You were created and gifted to make a difference. Some people die, and the only mark they leave is the tombstone under which they lie. And on that tombstone is a dash between the years they were born and the year they died. And for a lot of people, that dash, as far as the kingdom of God, means absolutely nothing. There's a movie that came out a few years back. I saw the movie with some friends, and I didn't like the movie. It's called About Schmidt. And it was pretty pointless. Jack Nicholson plays a man in that movie that basically just lived a dull life, just like in the world. He did his thing. He was an insurance salesman, helped people with policies, but he really never made an impact on anybody in his life. He never did anything that mattered. He didn't make any difference. And he finally retires, and he feels rejected and abandoned, and nobody needed him. And he saw no meaning in his life at all. I thought, I was looking through the movie, why didn't somebody share Jesus with this man? Why didn't somebody lead him to Christ? Why didn't he get involved in a church where he could change lives every day, and he could just see his heart full as he saw things happening in his life every day? But it didn't happen, and the whole movie was so depressing. As you went through the whole movie, it just got worse and worse. I'm ready to leave. But I stuck it through. And the best scene to me of the whole movie is the last one. Because somebody had talked to him about maybe sending some money away to sponsor a child, a missionary child. So he starts sending some money. Well, at the end of the movie, he gets a letter from the child. And the first time in his life, he realized he made a difference. I'd like you to see the scene.
Mr. Warren Schmidt. My name is Sister Nadine Gauthier of the Order of the Sisters of the Sacred Heart. I work in a small village near the town of Mbeya in Tanzania. One of the children I care for is little Ndugu Umbo, the boy you sponsor. Ndugu is a very intelligent boy and very loving. He is an orphan. Recently, he needed medical attention for an infection of the eye, but he's better now. He loves to eat melon and he loves to paint. Ndugu and I want you to know that he receives all of your letters. He hopes that you are happy in your life and healthy. He thinks of you every day and he wants very much your happiness. Ndugu is only 6 years old and cannot read or write, but he has made for you a painting. He hopes that you will like his painting. Yours sincerely, Sister Nadine Gauthier.
He's toward the end of his life and finally did something that mattered. There's no mention of him coming to know Christ or where his eternity will be, but at least he had a good warm feeling that he helped a child, and I'm thankful that he did. We have a lot more than that, can't we? When we come to Christ, we know we have Christ now and eternally. Heaven is our home. We have the privilege, the opportunity to go from our own selfish, I am this way, to Lord, I will. I will as you lead me to do, I will my will to do your will. I will to will what I am supposed to will. I will to love others more maturely. I will be more understanding, more flexible, and more accepting of others. I will open my heart to the wonderful and rare vast variety of worship experiences we have at Pathways Baptist Church. I will grow spiritually through a class or group. I will find where I can serve Christ and his church here. I will serve to reach others with the good news of Jesus and his love. I will decide and then be dedicated in giving and tithing to God's work here. I will to not be a church dropout, but a vital and fully functional part of the church body. I will to not become a person of churchianity, but a powerful member of Christianity. I will make a difference in this church and in this world in Jesus' name. And it all begins with making that decision of a deeper commitment to Christ to say, Lord, help me move from I am this way to I will go that way with you. C.T. Studd put it this way: Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I'm dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come together today, as we finish this whole series of challenge, Lord, from your Spirit, to move from I am to I will, Lord, help us to be open to your Spirit's tugging, convicting, challenging, and changing, and help us to submit our will to your Spirit. Father, we thank you for the great work you're doing in our lives and in our church, your church. We are privileged and honored to be here. We ask you, Lord, to help us continue to say, Lord, I'll move from I am to I will, to glorify your name. And we look forward to many meaningful times of seeing how you using our lives, that's going from I am to I will, Lord, has blessed you and those around us. We pray it, Lord. We pray it all to the glory of Jesus' name, as all God's people say, amen.